I gotta say the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book. What's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help us to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we finished the steps we took, and I'm putting that out on the site now, and it's will be in order, and I think I've finished up step four, and I think that's where we were today, and they'll be coming out. And then we resume the big book for those listening on the podcast. I'd gone through We Agnostics, and then I took a break from the book, and we did The Steps We Took by Joan McHugh, which people said was very helpful. And you'll know if you listen to it, and if it helps you, it's great. It's helped me. Very, very great man who died about 20 years ago, and he really helped carry the message. So now we're back in the big book, and last week, or Saturday, I started on How It Works. And I covered only two lines on How It Works because I went through all that's required before you get to this part of the book. And you know, at meetings, and people are listening from all around the country and world, but in AA, in Topeka, we read a lot of meetings, they read it off of a card. So new people think we have this card, and you read How It Works. But it's in the book, and it's on page...
Were you losing?
I don't know.
I think we did.
I think you lost them all. I'm talking to the Zoom people. We screwed up. What's required is that you understand that you have a hopeless condition of mind and body. Anybody agree with that? And that there's without God, you have no defense against the first drink. And without God, you cannot have the obsession to drink or use removed. Anybody agree with that? Now, it's so important that they take 57 pages of doctor's opinion. Doctor's opinion and up to through We Agnostics, so you understand that. And We Agnostics is about how we believe that there is a power that can help us and a power that can work in our lives, and we're willing to believe. And then we come to believe. And what makes us willing is our first step. Most people in AA don't make it because they really haven't taken the first step. You would think somebody who comes here, his life is such a mess, you know, everything's caving in, they would have seen their situation. But they're not completely defeated yet. Circumstances don't defeat you. You're defeated from within. We don't surrender in the first step. Well, how can he say that? That doesn't make any sense. You are surrendered. If you're not surrendered by the disease in your first step, you're not surrendered yet. The decision to have God as our director is considered the surrender in the third step. But the first step is where I can see the truth about my situation. I can't lie to myself anymore. It's a moment of grace, and I can ask God to help me. And if you have that, please take the actions to keep it. But just getting a DUI or the wife throwing you out or losing the job and all, that won't defeat you because those are circumstances. And the circumstances can just keep getting worse and worse. Now, for a while you get defeated, you come to AA, things are really bad. But you haven't 100% admitted the truth to yourself that either you have a spiritual experience to conquer your disease or not. And we went through last week how it says that we had to face the fact that we must have a spiritual experience or else, and lead a spiritual way of life. And it also said that on page 44, that I'm either going to be doomed to an alcoholic death, or I'm going to live on a spiritual basis. Now that seems like a good choice, right?
Yeah.
who's going to choose the alcoholic death? But it doesn't say that. It says there to be doomed are not easy alternatives to face. And I went through that. You have to be able to face the truth, see that you only have two alternatives, be completely defeated. And we went through that there are people who cannot and will not do this simple program. Well, why not? Because they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They can't give themselves completely to the simple program. They'll give a little bit of themselves, but not 100%. They don't have the desperation of a drowning man. And they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, which means to me that they can't face the fact that they're either doomed to an alcoholic death or they have to live a spiritual life. And they still think there's a third door. They still have a plan. They still have a way. And it says, then you had to face the fact that you must find the spiritual basis of life or else. And then it said, in this page, it says, if you're a real alcoholic, then you have an illness. We all agree it's an illness, right? And the only way to conquer it is to have a spiritual experience. Intensive outpatient therapy, we have a lot of that in Topeka. That's not going to treat it. Now, if it gets you a spiritual experience that conquers the disease, that's good. Group therapy won't fix it. Self-analysis won't fix it. Medication won't fix it. It has to be a spiritual experience. You have to have a relationship with God and have contact with God and allow God to work in your life and learn to trust Him and not yourself. And so that's what the steps are designed to do. So that's the background for how it works. How do we find the power to live? Now, where we find the power is in we agnostics. Anybody know where it is? It's deep down inside of all of us. But we block it out by worship of ourselves and things. Anybody relate to that? And so God's always been there, but I've never allowed Him to work. And then I blame God when things go bad. Anybody ever do that? Well, where were you, God? How could you let all this happen to me? Well, He said, you were on your own, Michael. I was here the whole time. And so we have to find, it says, lack of power is our problem. We had to find a power to live, and it has to be greater than ourselves. And then it says we're going to talk about God. So page 45 is where the God book starts. Everything up to that is the not drinking book. But where we are now is in the God book. How we find this relationship with God, how we keep this relationship with God, how we use God to remove our fears. Anybody ever have fear? Yeah. And so, I had the pool cover blow up. So of course, I'm going to be homeless and on the street, right? Because, you know, I'm going to run out of the money and, you know, Putin's going to invade Europe and stock market will crash and we'll lose everything. And that could take 30 seconds for an alcoholic, right? Anybody relate to that? And then I say, well, it's just the pool cover. And I said, well, you preach at these meetings that you have to say the fear prayer. So why don't you do it, Michael? So I say, God, remove my fear of not having enough money or whatever and direct my attention to how I should be. So God says, well, why don't you be grateful for what you have and be live with me and why don't you have a good day, you know, and trust me and rely on me. Does that make sense? And so we got through cannot and will not give themselves this. Now it says you're not going to fail if you thoroughly follow their path. Now here's the problem. When people come to AA, if you're not completely defeated, you're not going to thoroughly follow their path. You're still going to have some of your path. Now, what's the problem with you having your path and their path? Well, there's only one path. So if you're going down their path and then you get on your path, you're going to get to the wrong destination. Now, Joe and Charlie talk about we're making a cake in AA, and we're getting all the ingredients for the cake in the first 88 pages of this book. Now, if we want the cake that they had, we're going to read about that. If I want what they have, I better make their cake. Now, what if I don't like step four? I don't like step four. I don't need step four. So I'm going to make a cake without step four. Well, then I won't have their cake. Or I won't do my inventory like they did it. Well, then I'll have my cake. And if I don't do the prayers and I don't seek God and if I don't follow the instructions, I'm not going to have their cake. So why do people fail? They don't follow the directions in this book. And you're not going to do the directions in this book unless you're completely defeated. Now, here's another problem with this book. It's a very good book. I love the book. Everybody love the book?
Yeah.
Right. But the book won't work for people who aren't completely defeated. See, this book was written in 1938, for people who were completely defeated. These were people in the institutions. They couldn't stop drinking. They're homeless. They weren't going to people who had a bad day and the wife threw them out and they had a DUI. They didn't go to AA. These were people at the end of the line. So they assumed, even though they spend a lot of time on it, that you could see you had a hopeless condition of mind and body. Because if you can't see it, you're not going to do it. And then the other thing is, if you can't see it every day for the rest of your life, that without God, you're in a hopeless condition of mind and body, you're not going to keep doing it. And so some people are defeated for a while, and they completely give themselves this program, but then the ego rebuilds. And then they say, well, you know, I was making too much of this. I'm sober 90 days. I don't want to go there and listen to him for 30 minutes. All he does is talk. And the ego rebuilds, and then they say, well, I'm not going to go Wednesday night meeting. And then it's not Saturday night. And then it's, I can drink now because I can quit any time. Has anybody ever heard of this or done it themselves? And so it makes sense, but that's why people don't make it. Now, what I see a lot is that we talk about the steps, and we have a lot of discussion. And in Topeka, what we like to do is read the daily reflections. And that's become like the book of knowledge. But what I see is that when people come here, they're at step zero. They're living without alcohol, and they don't have God yet. They haven't worked the steps. And so they're at step zero. And I heard a talk by Mark Houston a long time ago, and he said, step zero, how long can you stay at step zero and not drink or use? Because remember, alcoholism and addiction starts when you're clean and sober. It's not after you use, then you're just a mess. And so how can you live separated from God and not drink and use again? And it's hard because when you're separated from God, you don't feel good. Anybody have that problem? And you get restless, irritable, discontented. And then your mind seeks the ease and comfort of alcohol or drugs or anything that'll separate you, give you peace. So we want people to follow this path. That's why I did this meeting when my son died, so that I go through the path and maybe somebody would do it. I know it's helped me. I've probably done 1,600 meetings. My book, this is the second book that's fallen apart. I can't find the first one. I'm getting old, I probably got Alzheimer's. And it says, and you can't recover if you can or will not see the truth. And so if you try to work with a new person, and we talked about working with others, you see people who tell you they're hopeless and they're completely defeated. So then you give them something to do. Usually it's something very complicated. What I say is, can you read 2 pages and call me tomorrow night? And then they don't call you. So you see them on Wednesday, you say, well, what happened? Well, you know, I was busy, and you know. They're not completely defeated. Because I know when I was, it was really bad the first month for me. A lot of fear. Things were all caving in. Anybody ever have that? And I just wanted to make it through each day, and I did whatever they told me to do. And so we're going to talk about that now. And it says, there are unfortunates who cannot see the truth. And we see that because people die of alcoholism, don't they? And if you try to get somebody who you see as an alcoholic and they don't want to quit, you bring it up to them, you make their execution list, right? They don't want to hear it because they're not ready. And they don't want to lose alcohol because it's the thing that's become their relief from their spiritual condition. It says they are incapable of grasping and develop a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Now, they use the word honest three times in this first paragraph, so it must be important. And what are they talking about? What do we need to be rigorously honest? And then it says, I'm going to tell you in a second, and their chances are less than average. So those two suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. We see that. But they do have the recovery if they have the capacity to be honest. Now, some people don't have the ability to be honest. And what do you need to be honest about? Your thinking, your motives, your old ideas, your powerlessness, your complete inability to manage your life, your complete inability to not use or drink. And if you can't be honest about that, it's just not going to work for you. And I think it's a gift when you can see the truth of your situation. I think that's what hitting bottom is. Have you ever heard about hitting bottom? People talk about it a lot. I used to think hitting bottom was circumstances, but hitting bottom is when you see the truth about your situation. And on that afternoon at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, over 20 years ago, I could see the truth. I saw I just couldn't do it, and I asked God for help, and I went and saw a sister at the hospital, and then I just cried, and she helped me. And then God put people in my life, and I'm here today. And so I was completely willing to do anything. So it says, so you have to have the capacity to be honest, you have to have a life that's rigorously honest, and you have to be capable of being honest with themselves. And so those all tie together, and it's pretty important. And I think you get honest when you can see the truth. And before you can see the truth, you can lie to yourself. And alcoholics are very good, because the doctor said we can't see the truth from the false. Alcoholics know they can't drink, right? And use, right? But yet they go to the liquor store. Well, what that's all about? Because right before they go, they can't see the truth from the false. And we can't see the truth and false of our thinking till we do the fourth step. And until we do the fourth step, we think we can't see the truth. And if we don't see the truth about our thinking, we can't see what blocks us from God. And then we can't have a spiritual experience. I hope this has been helpful. I've just been blathering away. And it says, our stories disclose in a general way. Oh, the other thing is, and I didn't mention this, there. What is the first step in recovery? It's not in the 12 steps. Does anybody know what the first step of recovery is? This is important too, because it says on page 33, when they're talking about more about alcoholism, it says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we're alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. So the first step in the 12 steps doesn't say I'm an alcoholic, does it? It says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanageable. Two separate thoughts. Now, if I have an unmanageable life, and they left something out of the big book, and I need to call New York tomorrow and tell them to rewrite it, that it says my life had become unmanageable by me. And when I can see that, if I'm living an unmanageable life and I'm running the show, then I'm going to have separation from God, right? I'm going to not feel good, and then alcohol will come in the picture. You see how they're related? If you have an unmanageable life, you're always going to seek the ease and comfort of alcohol and drugs. And then it says the first step in recovery is that I learned I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm alcoholic. And when you fully concede your innermost self, this is the first step. And it says the delusion that I'm like other people must be smashed. And I've heard people bang the table. And so I had to fully concede that I'm an alcoholic. Until you fully concede that you're an alcoholic, you won't see that you're powerless over alcohol. And how powerless do you have to admit that you are over alcohol? Is it 5%, 10%? It has to be 100%. Can't have any lurking notion that someday or somehow you'll be able to drink like other people. So it says, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, and that's what Bill's story is. What used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. And that's what we're supposed to be doing at meetings, although I'm not sure that's going on now. We have a lot of these discussion meetings. But if you're new here, we want you to know that we have a solution to your problem if you're a real alcoholic, and that what we were like, what did I do, and what am I like now? And that's what you're really supposed to do when you start working with someone. You don't talk about them, you talk about yourself. Now, the first thing I do when I meet people and who come to AA is I ask them why they come, and then they'll tell me something, and I say, well, what makes you an alcoholic? Are you an alcoholic? And a lot of times they don't know. So then I tell them what made me an alcoholic. And I'm an alcoholic because I can't control how much I drink. I have an allergy. And then I've lost the power of choice to choose not to drink. And then the only way I have that power is by having a relationship with God. And God gives me the power to choose. And I got that relationship through working the steps. It doesn't have to be a long, complicated thing. And so we should be doing that to new people so that they'll have hope. And that's what the book does. The first 58 pages tells you basically what the disease is, what you were like, and then there's examples of what happened in Bill's story, and then what we're like now. And so they say our stories disclose, and then if you read the back of the book, those stories are examples of that as well. Now it says, if you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. So I've written here, if you decide you want what we have, and I wrote you don't want what you have. I don't want what I have, so I'll want what they have. So this, to not want what I have means I have to see the truth. Now the other thing is there are meetings that for people that should be called third door meetings. And there are people who still want to have a different way. And that's called the third door, but unfortunately in AA there's no third door. You're either going to die or you're going to do the deal and have a spiritual experience. Now, there's some people who recover and they say they've never read the book and they've never worked the steps, and some of them are kind of proud of it. And I don't know what they had, but they don't have what I had. I'm really ill. And if I'm left to my own thinking, I'll get way out there. But this steps and this program has helped me not pay attention to my thinking and my fears and my anger and my resentments. And so, if you have what I have, I needed to do this. And this has really worked because I can see my fears as stupid. I laugh at myself. I get judgmental. Anybody do that? Anybody judging here today? Did anybody judge at all? Did anybody not judge? Well, when I judge, that's just my character defects, my pride and self-esteem is threatened in some crazy way. And, and I just say, that's silly, Michael. You're just being silly. And so the program works because I see I'm silly right away, and I kind of stop. Because I don't like the way I feel when I'm silly. I get disturbed, and I don't want to be disturbed. So you have to decide if you want what they have. And at AA, we should be telling people what we have so people want it. We are hope. This is a fatal disease. And so we shouldn't be tough on people, but we should be examples that if you want what we have. And it says, are willing to go to any length to get it. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean you're willing to go to any length to get it? That means you're willing to go to any length. So what are you not willing to do? And then, you know what? They'll show you what they're not willing to do, because you'll ask them to do things, and they won't want to do it, or they'll have excuses, which may make sense to them. But if you have the desperation of a drowning man, and I say, well, you're drowning. I want you to hold on to this paddle. Well, I'll wait a day. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? And so it says on page 28, with the desperation of a drowning man, we reached out on the flimsy reed, and it became the powerful hand of God. So in the beginning, we're giving reeds to new people. We're offering help and positive suggestions. And we want to be encouraging. We don't want to be too demanding, but we need to get them on the right path. And it should be the path that you followed. So when you pick a sponsor, find somebody who's worked it out of the book, I suggest. And then work with that person. And I did the podcast so people could hear me teach it, if that would be helpful in seeing the instructions. Then you're ready to take certain steps. So if you don't want that, what they have, you're not willing to go at any length, you're not going to take the steps. Now the steps are the key. Now the important thing about the steps is if I want to go from my basement to the first floor and I have steps, I have to actually climb them. I can't say I want to be on the first floor. The first floor sounds great. I could have dinner. Honey, I'm coming up, but I don't want to take the steps. It's not going to happen, is it? I mean, it sounds silly, but they are steps. That's the beauty of the way they named it. They're the steps to God. They're the steps through the arch, the freedom from the bondage of self. They're the steps to relieve you of the obsession, the Drake. And what did they have? They had a solution to a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, where in the book does it tell you what they have? Anybody remember? It tells you at the foreword to the first edition. It says, we are more than 100 men. This is the beginning of the big book. First thing they said to the world is that we are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. They had recovered. Now, what does it mean? Some people say, oh, you can't recover. Well, of course you can. Recovered means I'm not dominated by the obsession to drink today. And then when I think of alcohol, I say bad idea. And I get that through my relationship with God. And it says to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of the book. So right in the beginning, they tell you they had recovered, and they're going to show you precisely how they had recovered. So do you want to be recovered? And if you want to be recovered, they're going to show you how they did that. Now on page 20, is it all right if I go back like this? All right, is that, you're not going to throw me out. All right, on page 20, it says, they're talking about the hopeless condition. It says, doubtless you're curious to discover how and why, in the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, now that's an important question. If you are, you're asking, what do I have to do? Now, I've never had anybody who was new come up to me and say, what do I need to do? Never. And I don't think I did when I went, because I didn't even know what was wrong with me when I came here, but I knew things were bad and I needed help. So, and I think I did ask, I asked Cliff, I said, what do I need to do? He said, well, call me tomorrow and don't drink tonight. I said, okay. Anything else? No. He says, that's enough. It's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. They're going to answer the question, what do I have to do? And Sandy Beach says, what do I need to do next? What action? What do I need to do next? And so they're going to tell you now on page 58 what actions you have to take. Up to that point, they're telling you what information you need to have to be willing and believe that you need to do these actions. And then you're ready to take the steps. Now, I would suggest you take them quickly. Why? Well, until you work the steps, you don't have a relationship with God. Now, when people are really serious and you take them through step three pretty quickly, because step three, one, two, and three is really not that complicated if you can see the truth of your situation. And then once you start step four and they start writing, they're starting to get a spiritual experience. And they're starting to say the prayers for their anger, and they're learning their prayers for their fear. And you can see that people's lives are changing. And so I think it's important to get into the steps quickly so you're not at step zero. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm working on step three. Well, I don't know what that means, because either your life, you're going to quit playing God or you're not. Are you convinced that a life run on self-will cannot be successful? How long does it take to be convinced of that if your life is truly a mess? Do you see what I'm saying? You don't have to write out in great detail how unmanageable it is. You know if your life's unmanageable. Now, if you take, you could do an hour. You could sit down with someone and say, now, what's going on in your life? Tell me how things are going. And you read pages 60 to 63 with them, which basically tells you what a life run on self-will looks like. And then you start, it says, then you say the prayer, and then next at once you launch on a course of vigorous action. It doesn't say next at once, you take your time and think about the fourth step. It's, and they tell you why, because you have to face it, be rid of the things that are blocking you from God. And it says alcohol is but a symptom. And we have to get down to the causes and conditions. A patient would come to me, they'd have chest pain and be coughing. So I'd have to know what the cause and condition of that is to treat it. Cough medicine isn't going to work. Pain medicine won't get rid of it. So you do an x-ray and they have a big mass in their lung. Now if I didn't know that, I couldn't treat it, right? So then I get down to the cause and condition, make a plan of action to take care of that. And so what we're doing is looking at the cause and conditions of our life run on self-will being a mess and why we can't. We don't have any power not to drink. Why we get the obsession? Because we're living a life run on self-will. And then the causes and conditions are the manifestations of a life run on self-will, which is our resentment, our fears, and our shame and guilt from harming people. See how it all ties together? So if you haven't got down the cause and conditions, you're just living with your mind and your untreated alcoholism. And I'm just going to read one or two more lines, and then I'll shut up. At some of these, we balked. At some of the steps, we balk. Can you imagine that? And it says, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness of our command, we beg you to be fearless and thorough from the start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. So next, on Saturday, I'll go through that, because there's so much information in that. Is that why do we balk? What did they beg me to do? What are the old ideas that I hold on that kill me? And then we'll go through that, and then we'll go through the steps that are on page 59. Is that okay? Well, I hope this was helpful. I kind of like to review the whole thing. It puts it all in perspective, because we read this at every meeting. But it becomes like words, but they're so powerful. And every time we read them, we should read them like we're reading them for the first time. All right, thank you guys.